Hi, everybody. So you've got your book, you've got your, and you've got your chat box open, and we're looking at what delighted you, this past week or weekend. I did a lot of eating out, and one of them was French toast, but the French Dispatch, if you are a quirky Wes Anderson, you have to sort of say Wes Anderson file, sort of like a cinephile or whatever. He has just a very specific style as and that is just, that was a wild movie. Anyway, ooh, picked up a puppy. Ooh, there's a JPEG of a puppy that's gone in. I don't know if I can see the puppy. Now I'm seeing the puppy. Wow, that's a puppy. All right. What did we name the puppy? That's 74 degrees in South Dakota. That's insane. That's, well, you know, wonderful. Go Pokes. So I went to a football game. Are they, are Pokies? Is it Pokes? Cowboys beat. Like a cow poke? Like a, you know what? I don't even know what I'm talking about. Wyoming for the boot. For the boot. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes much more sense. Raya. That's beautiful. Yeah, and it was beautiful in Chicago. I saw people enjoying Chicago this weekend on Facebook. Yeah, amazing. I went to San Francisco. Okay. Like that. What did I, did I go to San Francisco? No, I just stayed here in Palo Alto. Alcatraz. I've been to Alcatraz. It was wild. Pacific Islander vaccination testing site. That's great. Great. Hurrah. Vaccination is awesome. Health is awesome. Oh, yeah. Veterans parade. Flowers and bagpipes. Beautiful. Lovely. I'm loving all this. All right. It is, let's see what we've got. We've got 33 people. It is 2 years old. God, how cute is that? How cute is that? It is the top of the hour. What is your call, Justin?
I think we are good to go. I will keep letting people in as they arrive. And yeah, welcome everybody to session two. Oh yeah, they're going up quick. So I'll keep hitting the button there, but
Thank you. You
can kick things off whenever you're ready, Jennifer.
Thank you. So welcome everybody to session 2 of 3 for Hard Conversations Unpacked. Hopefully you have your book nearby. You've been doing some reading and you're ready for a 90-minute get into breakout rooms, talk about the challenges you're facing without having to do too crazy of a share, because I know that people want to honor confidentiality and all of that, but we do want to make this connect, right? You know, we want to make it timely and relevant and talk, right? Not just listen. So talk about how we're thinking about having these hard conversations. You're going to be in breakout rooms a number of times today. Make sure if it's possible that you place yourself on video and that you unmute. And to have those on really engages people. They know that you're there for them. So between the book being a guide and your energy, we will move forward. I have loved this wonderful way of sort of reminding people to be their best adult selves from Indiana Center, Health Center, about taking responsibility for the energy that you bring into this space, being present for people. Your words matter, your actions matter. And so be here energetically as best you can, be here for those that are working here, and always modeling being your best adult self, especially in education, because somebody is learning how to be a person by watching you. So, and they are, they really, really are. So onward into chapters 3 and 4. On last Monday, we had our first session and we discussed chapters 1 and 2. And in that, a lot of what I spoke to and you had conversations about was everything that's not a hard conversation. Are you having clarifying conversations? Are you sure that this conversation, as you choose to move forward with hard conversations, is truly something that has been clarified so that it's now up for accountability? It's the responsibility has been framed, and now we're asking people to be accountable to that. So clarifying conversations was last week. The idea of also taking a look at the expectations and standards around professionalism, which is to me the most off the plate when it comes to hard conversations or comes to clarifying conversations, because we haven't articulated what it means to be a professional. And so to make sure that you have professional expectations around that and public agreements around how we're supposed to relate to each other. Then we looked at this idea of, are we really managing a polarity? In them can be problems, but are we trying to solve something that really needs to be managed? And can the conversations be around managing and rebalancing a polarity instead of tipping the seesaw and solving problems? And then we started really thinking about having those hard conversations around a problem and making sure that the language we use is more professional, more cognitive, more neutral, and less emotional and saliva moment and verbal paper cut. The idea of affective isn't that you're not passionate. It isn't that you are not caring. It isn't that there isn't emotion that you bring into your work. It's that you don't really tip the seesaw and get snarky, get personal, get vindictive, get verbally paper cutted and where the grimace, the saliva moment. We're not going, you're fat, you're ugly, you're a drama queen, you're pain to be with. We're not going that just emotive. Okay. We're talking about trying to stay more cognitive with our conversations. So that was the beginning, right? And now let's say we really are going to have a hard conversation and we are capable of staying neutral and cognitive about it. How might we plan for that? This is the chapter about the plan. Not the script, but the before, like the rough draft thinking plan. And it's about outcome mapping. And that's chapter 3. And then as I put in chapter 4, what if, you know, how do I shape this? What if I'm talking to a supervisor and that's my hard conversation? Or how about if I'm going to have to present this to a whole group? How do I do that? And what if it's more organizational, this conversation, than it is individual? Okay. So all of that stuff, other factors to consider. And it's almost like a junk drawer to me of everything else is in chapter 4. So what I'd like to do is review what you've been looking at in the book in chapter 3, starting on page 17. And I think it's on, just a minute, let me make sure. Yeah. It could start on page 16. The whole thing is on page 17. It's really go into part of the outcome map and then give you some time to talk in breakout rooms halfway through and then go through the rest of it and then do a little chat and then have people come back and then we'll do another breakout. So there's going to be times for chat box, times for chewing with partners in breakout rooms. Okay. So this outcome map, some people say, I don't want the outcome map. Just tell me what to say. Tell me what to say. Give me the script. And I say, I won't give anybody the script until they've mapped. Okay. The mapping to me is where the good, humane, growth producing thinking comes in. And this map, with permission, was taken from a book called The Adaptive Schools by my colleagues Bob Garmston and Bruce Wellman. And it is a thinking map. This map is not in the form you're going to start thinking in and your note-taking in, is not to be handed to the person. Oh, I've worked with Jennifer Abrams and I finished my map and here's your problem. That's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about how might you be doing your outcome mapping. And if you had a chance to do the Having Hard Conversations workshop in the, when was it? My goodness, probably in the summer or late spring. I'm going to deep dive into that a little bit more. So whether you've seen this before or not, there's more. Okay. And of course, please participate without the book, Bernadette. No big deal. It's all good. So this map, okay, has six questions. And there are your pre-planning questions. And sometimes people do this kind of thinking because this is how they think. Other people, this is a good speed bump. It just slows you down to do what I call think before you speak, right? Kind of stuff. And the first two questions are the most general, but really hugely important. Do not have a hard conversation unless you know what you want to talk about. And I got a lot of people who have hard conversations. It's not working. They're not effective. They just start talking in generals. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. Get clear. Where do you want to have this hard conversation? What is the problem that you want to focus on? And then not just stay there, because there is negative and you feel like they're a problem and it gets all kind of negative. But I want you to move into an outcome, into a more positive outcome. And I want you to kind of flip it and say, what do you want to see instead? We're looking for the tentative outcome, the desired state, right? But those two questions really cause people to pause. Because I want you to drill down and ask yourself, okay, I'm going to go there. Ask yourself, where do I want to localize this problem? So is it, for example, and I'm just showing you this one thing. In the first book, not in the book you've got, but in the first book, I have this appendices. And the appendices looks very much like the California standards for the teaching profession. If you needed to put it into four, it would be maybe the Danielson framework. It's the idea of where are you localizing the problem, okay? And that to me is hugely important because I've got people that are like, I don't even know where to begin. They're just terrible at everything. And that's not a humane growth producing conversation. So I want you to decide, where do I want to focus this hard conversation? And you might say, but I got so many hard conversations to have. They have this problem and this problem, this problem. Fantastic. You'll do a bunch of maps. But I want you to start to see that you have to say, here's the challenge. It's one of these things. Okay. Now, it might not be one of these things. So we're going to talk about that in a second. To me, these are broad. This is only for teachers, by the way. For example, if you want to talk to the secretary or the food services person or the custodian, they have job descriptions. We're trying to focus on the job description. Okay. Now, if you were having a hard conversation with a teacher, I want you to know, are you really still having a hard conversation about classroom management, which I think is very much on the plate of every teacher. But what if your school just decided on PBIS? Now, there might be people on this call that are going, what the heck is PBIS? Don't worry about it. Okay. Or I could say some other social emotional learning thing, or discipline with dignity, or love and logic. If your school is not just focused on classroom management, but has a specific way to do classroom management, then you have to promise me you've had a clarifying conversation about that. Because does that person know how to roll that out? Right? Same thing if you were doing English learners and you were doing SDI or GLAD. Same thing if you were doing UBD or MTSS. Do you see what I mean? These are acronyms that I want you to understand fit under all this wonderful stuff. Not that you can't have a hard conversation about it. The question is, did you have a clarifying conversation about it? All right. So that is a piece. There are also things in the book on pages 20 and 21 that I wanted to just sort of mention, because sometimes it's really about like emotional capacity or psychological bandwidth for something. And it has something to do with most likely what might fall under professionalism. Okay. And so I want to make sure that if you're going to have a hard conversation about that, that you end up finding the right language, pinpointing the right skill or mindset or capacity, and using language that doesn't saliva, doesn't cause that. Right. So I just wanted to put those two pieces out there as well, because I had a dear friend who didn't take enough initiative in her administrative role. And that was a leadership skill that she was not coached on, nor were they clear about where she needed to take initiative. It wasn't that it wasn't an incorrect thing to talk about a gap with, but it was like, it was a piece that I think they said she wasn't leadership material. Okay, saliva, 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 all right? So I want you to be able to pinpoint, all right? And there are ways that you can look at your standards and find that. Okay. Now that's all lovely. We want somebody who doesn't have something to have something. We want somebody who was doing an inadequate amount of it to do a sufficient amount of it, whatever those numbers are, whatever that looks like. Okay. That's global. That's great. We can at least find that. And in your breakout room in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to look out for each other. Check your saliva moments, okay? Check your words. Check to see if it's too vague or it's not focused on something that you can imagine is in the standards. That's great. The next thing that I think cracks people up, makes some people laugh, makes some people irritated beyond all get out, is I want you to plan for the details. What does it look like and sound like if the problem was gone? So that if Justin said to me, I need you to engage the students more, Jennifer. Okay. I would say, well, how? What are my behaviors? What could I do? What are you talking about? Okay. And I would like some suggestions or some expectations around that. And I need details. That is huge. Some people say to me, specifics? Are you kidding? We hired somebody. We hired you. You're an adult. You have a credential. How dare you need me to spell out what you're supposed to do? Do you want to be right or effective? Okay. I need you to consider that the details matter, specifics matter. In case somebody says to you, well, what do you mean? Blah, 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 blah. What might be some of those behaviors? Okay. That, and I have on page 23, this idea of just some words, incorporating technology, being more positive, being more of a team player, engaging students, upping the rigor, whatever you're talking about, okay? That stuff needs specifics. I had one person say to me, you want me to spoon feed this to the adults? Saliva moment. Okay. I need, you know, she goes, do you want me to bring a spoon to this meeting? I mean, she was incredibly harsh. I wanted to tell her, do you want to be right or effective? Humane and growth producing. What would it take in order for this to get better? Okay. So I want us to think about that. I want us to think no saliva, what the problem is. And then if think from this other person's perspective, if the person said, well, what do you want me to do? Do you have some specifics? So this is what's going to happen right now. That's just the first three questions, right? And I've got Carrie in here talking about, I'm going to look at Carrie's question in just a sec. There is a breakout room moment here, right? And so the assignment for this wonderful moment, and it could be a group of three, Justin, if that helps. I want you to say, does anybody have a, and I hope maybe all of you do, a hard conversation or you're trying to practice something? What is your problem? And we'll all listen and we'll see. Saliva moment or is it really neutral? Paper cuts or is it very standards focused? What's the problem? Then do you have some details? What would it look like and sound like if the problem was gone? So one example, one of my colleagues said to me was, I was a coach and the new teacher was there. I need you to have a little bit more of a teacher presence in the classroom, more presence. He couldn't do anything with that. It wasn't that he was wrong in asking for it. I think it kind of fell in a couple places around management and control of the classroom and all of that. But the new teacher couldn't do anything with more presence. So I want you to think, what could I have said? Proximity to kids, eye contact, volume, saying hello at the door. Do you see how all of these are actions? More presence, too vague. That's why you need to answer these questions. So you're going to get into a group of three or four, however Justin chooses to do it. There might be some of both. And you're going to take a few minutes and you're going to think to yourself, how does this work? Where am I stuck? How can I help somebody else who might have some, is like, I need your help, right? So take those 10 minutes and see if you can help each other with neutrality and specifics. Okay, in that section. Are there any questions about purpose or process for the next 10 minutes? Anything? You can pull yourself off mute. I know we got a lot of people. I can't see everybody on my screen. I don't hear anything.
All right. I'll speak to Jennifer. People are asking if the breakout sessions are recorded. We will not be publishing anything. Like if what's in your breakout room does get recorded, it will not be shared. I think to technically answer that question, if I'm in the breakout room, it does get recorded, but we're cutting those out. So we'll protect and respect confidentiality with the breakout rooms here. The other thing I'll say is I'm not sure if it will say 10 minutes when we first get in the breakout rooms, but we will be back in 10 minutes. Is that right, Jennifer?
Yes, sir.
All right. The timer might not be set to that, but we'll get it fixed.
Got it.
So, all right. Any other questions before we go? Are we good to go?
One comment to Carrie. Of course, yes, absolutely try to get the coachee to consider what those ideas are. I think I just want somebody to have at the ready some possible ideas to start the brainstorming. So yeah, you're on the right track. All right, cool. Onward. See you in 10.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jennifer, I will hand it back to you then.
Perfect. So if we have those three questions pretty clear, and we know exactly what we're clear, it's been clarified, and we're saying it without saliva, and we get some clarity. I think that the other three questions are more, I call it the advanced placement questions. They're just more of the extension questions, but they are in Hard Conversations Unpacked, which is the point of this book, right? We're getting deeper into it. And one of the questions is an honest, compassionate assessment of why might the person not be doing the behaviors, okay? What's up, okay, for them? Okay, what's up for them? And it's the idea of being more allocentric or other focused. Allocentric is not egocentric. It's allo, it's other focused, not self-focused, but other focused. And it's just this idea of where might this be kind of a big speed bump for them, or in fact, just sort of a complete, and to look at it. And so in this book, I have a bunch of filters to look through. Some of them might work for you. Some of them might not be in alignment with any of your hard conversations, but it's that idea of it's the same thing, but maybe from a different angle. And to begin, after you know what the problem is, after you know what you would like to see from their point of view, what's up? What's up? Okay. And so I just wanted to put out a number of things. And so I did in this book. And on page 26, I have a filter one, and I'm just going to look at a few filters with you. Okay. Not all of them. Is this something that is cognitively challenging for this person? Like it's a real new intellectual, overload kind of a thing, and or is it more emotional? And most of the time it's both skill and will. It's both, right? That's what Switch by Chip and Dan Heath talked about. But it's an interesting thing to really ask, like, is this challenging for them? And in what ways? One of my colleagues teaches BC calculus, okay? Masters in major high level math, okay? And he wasn't getting his college letters of recommendation done. What? You know, can't understand that, right? He is Romanian by birth. English is his second language. For him, it was an emotional challenge because he didn't want to embarrass himself or make the kid not have the most perfect letter of recommendation, but he struggled with getting things finished. And it was an emotional challenge for him, even though it was gray haired and incredibly integral. It's just an interesting thing, right? And I want us to just consider these things. I'm not saying Daniel's mentioning assumptions are very dangerous, but it's a possibility that it's a possibility. And I have people who never look from the perspective or the possible perspective of the other person. That's what I'm asking about, right? It's just consider what might be going on. Might that person be having a family crisis? I'm not suggesting that over supersedes at all times the safety of students, but is there something that's, you know, going on? Is there a mental health challenge and or a medical challenge or a learning difference? I know that just being aware of that these possibilities could be there might show you that you need to provide both care and hold people accountable. Now that to me is a polarity. It's not always all care all the time and no accountability. It's not always accountability all the time and no care. It's about a balance. But that idea of just what's up, maybe, and I'm going through these, not all of them, right? Maybe there is a viewing of the work that might be different by generation. And I know that age is but one of the slices of an identity. This is an identity circle from Turner Consulting in Toronto, Canada. That's why when you go to personality in the middle, dead center in the white, and you go over to the left, color has a U. I'm detoxifying this for the US citizens. But It's just the idea that we bring all of this stuff to work, and maybe, and I'm going to keep going, maybe we have a different idea about what work means. Maybe based on when we were raised and our sociocultural kind of the gestalt of the culture that we're in. Maybe we have differences in style of our communication based on that. Maybe we have, and this is a whole other book that I wrote. I mean, I'm just sort of saying it might be about generational stuff. In the last 2 weeks, a bank and a tech drug company were in touch with me because they're having generational challenges. Now, are they? Are they generational challenges? Are they really having, do they need to have clarifying conversations? Are they blaming people because those young people, and it's a clarifying conversation thing? I don't know. But it's that idea that we might, based on generation and how we were inducted into teaching in the eras that we were inducted into it, we might have different ideas about how things should go. That's an option, okay? It might also be filter six. And filter six talks about culture and country of origin, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm using Helena Connor and Hazel Rose Marcus's book, Clash, How to Thrive in a Multicultural World, where it might be that you're looking at things differently. And this is on page 31 in the book, based on race, based on gender, based on socioeconomics, based on where you're coming from. If you were living in the United States, coast versus heartland. So Justin is in Heber Springs, Arkansas. I'm in Palo Alto, California. We have different regional sort of ways that we roll. I'm not saying either is right or wrong. I'm just saying you got to kind of know maybe you're seeing things differently than somebody else. Okay. There is a principal that is now bringing some new things into a school that he's working at, and it's not being met well by the faculty. And he is coming from a different region. And they are saying, that is not how we do things here. Okay. So that could be that you're just sort of coming up against his expectation is, oh, this is how life should be. Okay. So it could be many of these things. As we go into, if you're working with somebody and they've been in the Army and they're now coming into education. We had somebody who came from the Army and became a principal, an assistant principal for us. He was also from Georgia and he moved to the Bay Area. He was exhausted trying to understand both the culture of schools as well as the culture of the Bay Area and California. Okay. And he moved back to become the director of technology at a school in Georgia. It fit him better. His just what he was going to speak about and how he was going to. So I'm just saying that there are many things that could be at play. And I've mentioned that there are also in this section of the book, that there are lots of other pieces there. They are all an entire, there's like an entire several years of a PhD, right? Of just sort of looking at it. But I really want us to think from the other person's point of view. Because then the next two questions are, what supports might you offer? If the person says, can you help me with this? Might those supports, that training or coaching or reading or might any of that stuff now be aligned with that individual, their needs, and what you're looking for? You can sort of customize your possible supports. And my last question is, what do you need in order to have a hard conversation? That's the sixth question. Do you need I don't know, a proper coffee the day you do it? Do you need to make sure that somebody else is in the room? Do you need to make sure that you've spoken to somebody in human resources? Do you need to make sure that you have set aside a place for both of you to have a private conversation, that you have a copy of the standards, whatever it is? Have you prepared your day? Okay. So to me, I look at those questions totally, right? And I want us to think from the other person's perspective. So this is the question to go back into the same breakout rooms. Given the review of all these filters, and this is really all your book, you're like 26 to 34 in there. What's up for you? Are you having any ahas? Do you have more questions? Are you having insights? Are you more worried? Are you less worried? But looking at this hard conversation from the other person's perspectives, what's coming up for you now? Okay. So we're going to take 6 minutes in this same room to just sort of see if any of this is at play, or if you want to continue the conversation you had last time. All right. So 6 minutes, Mr. Justin, and then we'll come back, finish this up, and then there's chapter four.
All right. We will welcome people back to the main room. Thank you very much for engaging in those discussions there. Again, if you get to your room and there's nobody there, just leave the room and I'll reassign you next time. Welcome back. Welcome back. And Jennifer, if you want to unmute, that'll pop you to the top of my list, and then I can make you the host. There we go. Make you the host. There we go.
I'm going to be right back to this. I'm really curious about this. I'm really curious about why might the person not be doing the behaviors? What supports then can I offer? Because I'm going to hold them accountable. So I better try to also provide some supports. And then what supports do I need to have? That map, to me, is gold. Okay. And we're going to go into this in the chat box in just a minute. I know people who've said to me, I'm a very busy person and these people should just be adult. And this thinking in this minutia, you know, of getting all this stuff done is just super difficult. And I don't have time for it. And I say, I understand, I get it. And it's, you know, first off, do you want to be right or effective? But secondly, how long have you had the problem? And people will say, years, years. And I will say, then maybe put in a few minutes of really thinking this stuff out and maybe suspending your certainty of, I think I have the right way, and say, I wonder if it's maybe this reason, or I wonder if I could provide this support, you know? And so to me, it's the thinking before you speak piece. And it's really a little bit more nuanced because of all of those filter pieces as well. So before we get into this next section, I would love to hear from people in the chat. And I know that somebody has, good. And I'll look at Daniel's thing in just a second. This is a aha or ouch moment. In the chat, is there anything that you're left pondering? You've got a left. Or, huh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. You have an aha. Or anywhere you have an ouch. Like, yeah, I should have thought about that. You know, ouch. If you would share in the chat either a aha or ouch from that kind of review, that would be very helpful. And I will time that. And if you have other questions, please put that on there too. But I will take a little 2 minutes to kind of get everybody's stuff. We got 60 people in here. So that's what we're going to kind of type on in. Daniel wrote, I don't think I've ever been asked, what is it I need? Yes. Nobody ever asks that. What do you need? I actually need to wear a charm before I have a hard conversation, because I sometimes want to hold something. That's really helpful. I also give myself a very nice coffee before I have one, and I schedule a dinner out after I have them. Because, and usually with somebody, usually with somebody who I want to talk to. And just sort of like, yay, this is hard work. This is really hard work. Okay, so we've got things, but anybody, okay, it'd be nice to have this map. Yes. Reminds you of her coaching lenses. You bet. Me and Elena. And mind the gap. You bet. Map the first year. Yes. Challenge when people want to hold others to their personal standards, even if it's those beyond the expectations of the job. It's sort of like you're doing the letter of the law, but you're not doing the spirit of law the way that I want you to do it. Right. I mean, that's a challenge. That's a big challenge. How do you avoid overwhelming a teacher who has more than three problems to address? Justin is the guy for this question because of his instructional supervision stuff. I would start with the first three. I would start with what's the absolute, like, is it first this, this, and this, and see what you can do. And I know that, well, it's all interactive and you can't do that, but which one can you do? Oh, I like your style, coffee and dinner out. Clarity. Okay, that was 2 minutes. For me, the qualifying criticism, what supports do you need in order to have a hard conversation? Can it be confidence or preparation? Really cool. Interesting. I'd really appreciate pondering the why. I think it's rare that people don't have a good reason for not doing what's expected of them. They might not know. It may be hidden, which is actually we're going to get to this. It might be a completely unconscious bias. It might be that they have avoided doing things that they don't feel they cognitively can do. There's so many things there. But that piece to me is hugely important of maybe wondering what's up. And they may not be able to tell you, but you could sort of say, I wonder what might be at play here, because you're trying to be supportive and you wanted to focus on those things. All right. Now, chapter 4, sort of felt like I had everything in the kitchen sink in it. But it was all of these other pieces of sort of like, what about if this is a much bigger whole school thing? Or what if I have to talk to my supervisor, or and to me, I wrote, I'm not trying to sell you another book, but there's a piece in this that led me to another book called Swimming in the Deep End. Swimming in the Deep End is a book that I wrote, 4 foundational skills for leading successful school initiatives. And the whole thing with that was that as you started looking at chapter 4 and looking at organizational politics and looking at the bigger picture and looking at that the other, you're being other focused, might be more than one person, and you're trying to roll out a common assessment, or you're trying to get an alignment with something from the state, or you are moving toward a literacy curriculum, that ends up being a whole school thing. So this slide isn't in the book, and I want you to take a screenshot of it, do something, but it's the idea of, again, did you have a clarifying conversation before you hold people accountable to something huge? Okay. And that to me is the piece that's not in this book. It's that idea of, did you roll out with clarity what you wanted? Did you articulate to them? Let's say you're going to roll out a literacy initiative, or you're going to say, we're going to start with a social emotional learning curriculum, or there's going to be PLCs now in the high school, or whatever. Does everybody know what the challenge has been? Like, why are we starting this? What was wrong? What was the gap? What was there? What's the challenge? What happened? What's being addressed here? How did we decide on this? What was the process? Who was involved? It's a really important thing. Like, was anybody who had the teacher's perspective in mind? They didn't have to be involved, but wait a minute, I wasn't on this. Who decided this? Did you have anybody? Did you know this was happening? Who was involved? And was there somebody that was like them? Which values undergirded the decisions? Which school values or district values? What are the criteria upon which they decided this? And then, oh, good, thank you. I posted a screenshot. Great. Now, what are we doing? Who's going to be doing it? When are they going to be doing it? What supports are going to help us do it? What if this, is this a short-term thing? And are we looping back to decide if this is where we're headed? And who do we talk to if we have concerns? Those questions start the clarity before accountability piece for me. And that is just like, what's up? Like, where are we headed? Right. And to me, that I think is so important. Clarity and other focusedness. Okay. We're going to go back to allocentrism. On page 45, I have in this whole thing of why might people not want to do whatever you're asking? Okay. And I call it, it's on 44 and 45, the ever-present elephant in organizations, resistance. Okay. So I think that in order to be supportive of people, you got to actually have at the ready some of the supports that they're going to need if, you know, you're going to try to hold people accountable to stuff. And on page 45, I have it in a frequently asked questions answers sheet, right? So if people say to you, I don't even understand this literacy curriculum. Do you have any more information about this? I don't know how to do this. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Do you have an explanation of why we're doing it? Who was involved in this? Why are we changing? Can you explain that to me? What are you going to take off my plate? Why, what are the benefits to changing? Do you have like some research around why it's going to be better this way? Who's going to help me do this? And are they credible? Am I going to have a lot of training on this? Help me understand how this aligns. This you can't do anything about, but I wonder if this really aligns to who I am. What happens if I fail? And oh my gosh, here comes some change. Now, a lot of this, maybe not in the same way as the slide, but a lot of that is here. And I know that it doesn't matter if it's the curriculum, the literacy curriculum, a new SEL curriculum, a PLC, whatever it is, pick the initiative. This is why people are going to resist. So my question is, are you there in an allocentric way, anticipating these changes aren't going to be good, and you're providing support? It's really going back into the outcome map question 4 and question 5, and really saying, you know, how do I address that? All right. Now, I want to actually do one other thing. I'm going to put you back into a new breakout room. So Justin, get ready for new breakout rooms. Preempting resistance starts with initial communication, which is what that main thing 2 slides ago was. But my worry with a lot of these types of bigger, hard conversations is that it isn't just you, the principal. It's also the grade level leads, the department chairs, all of those other people. And so I want to make sure that as we're doing these hard conversations or these rollouts, that everybody's prepared to have these kinds of conversations. And I don't always see that the middle level leaders, the department heads, the grade level leads are prepared to do that, and they need some support. So one person came in, we were doing, I don't know, we were changing up 2 classes in social studies at the former high school that I was at. Things were being shifted around. And that got determined at the principal level, department chair comes back to the social studies department. Ready? Don't shoot the messenger. This is just what's happening up here. I don't know. I don't have any answers. And people went, why? How am I going to get trained up on that? When am I going to get his supports? What if I don't want to do it? I don't know. I don't know. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay. That's where this chapter starts to go into swimming at the deep end. You've got to have people ready to have those accountability conversations. And that I don't think we've planned well enough. All right. So that's a piece of this. We've got two other things that I want to share or more in this chapter. But this idea of bigger, hard conversations and everybody that's got to get on the same page about them is hugely helpful. Okay. So I don't know if this is the right question or I didn't change my slide well enough, but when you see resistance, are you able to respond to it, support through it? Hard conversations with large groups. Does that stuff that's on page 44 and 45 seem to resonate? And are you thinking, I better use this for my bigger hard conversations? So we're going to have a new group and we're going to take 6 minutes. You've got lots of things in the chat that you can also look at, but take a look, any big organizational hard conversations, and does this help you? All right. Good. Everybody's back. So that idea of hard conversations writ large and understanding sort of maybe even the politics of a hard conversation that's even more nuanced and bigger. There's some pieces in there, right? There's also on page 44, there are things that we won't know about the power and the politics that we sometimes just step into it. And that's challenging. And I so appreciate that. For people who are interested in organizational development, particularly the politics around covert processes at work, covert stuff or deals, arrangement, biases, unknown, unacknowledged differences. There's been a lot of stuff where I walk in and I'm like, what's going on here? It's Robert Marshak, who is a former organizational development guy from American University outside education, worked in the Army, worked with corporate, talked a lot about what's going on here. And to be aware, at least, that there are things that are not being talked about. Some of them not even seen by the people. They don't even know it. It's unconscious to them. Okay. But just to be aware that stuff's there. And if you are interested in that, Bob Marshak does some good work. He's retired now, but that book was just really interesting to me. To just realize that organizational culture has got a lot going on, okay? And I think we can preempt some of the resistance and in our hard conversations with some of the stuff I just mentioned. Two other pieces before we finish this particular chapter that I want to highlight. I have a wonderful colleague named Kendall Zoller. Kendall Zoller is a communications consultant, an educational consultant, funny, interesting. He's written a number of books, but one of them is called The Choreography of Presenting. And he is interested in your non-verbals. Okay. So on page 46, I mentioned this idea of nonverbals, especially when you're trying to have a hard conversation with a group. And I will briefly sort of explain to you, I'm going to have to stand up for this, what a fourth point idea is. So I needed to have a hard conversation. It was not warmly received. Let's just put it this way. I was trying to do a workshop where I was trying to talk about the needs of the senior administration in my district to pay attention to generational differences, to even notice that we were losing 9 out of 18 principals and we were going to have new people coming in and that we had this number of new teachers coming on, and it was going to be a huge shift. And nobody wanted to kind of take into account that might be a challenge for the district. So I had to do, I was doing my workshop and I had to use the fourth point. So a fourth point is outside the room. Notice where my hands are going. Hands are going outside the room. That's where you're going to start to articulate the resistance. So I came into the room and I stood in front of the group and I said, I know that some people are not pleased with this idea of spending time talking about this topic. They think, watch my hand, it's a waste of time. Those new teachers should figure out how to be part of us. We don't have to kowtow to them. If they're not professional, they should just not be in our district. If they're so entitled that they need our help, we don't want them. And I kept talking about all the resistance and I put my hands outside. I kept throwing it out instead of looking right at them and going, and you, Justin, don't think this is an important thing. And you over here, Greg, don't think this is important. It's, you're not pointing at anybody. You're taking their ideas. You're giving them voice, but you're throwing them out. Then when you're done throwing out all the resistance, you say, and yet, and now you can look at them. There's some real interesting reasons for why we're doing this. Let me put up a slide so all of us can see this. And then you put up all your ideas on a screen. And you put all the ideas on screen. You're looking at them, you're looking at them. There's no, you know, 100 people are retiring. You know, we have half of our faculty, our administration is leaving. And you show all the data. And then you come and you say, so I think we really should talk about that for a while. Okay. It's that idea that your nonverbals can also help in a hard conversation. They can help in dealing with resistance. They can help in sort of managing toxic topics. Just paying attention to that might be an option for you to do. And Michael Grinder, Kendall Zoller, there are many people that focus on dealing with the visuals. The last thing I wanted to mention was, how do you talk and have a hard conversation up? Okay. And on page 48, I mentioned a couple things about hard conversations up, okay? That you've got to see, and actually it starts on 47, I'm sorry, but it's 47 to 49, where there's a lot about, like, how do you have influence without authority? How do you have a hard conversation up? And back to being allocentric. We've got to think, how might I want to hear this? If I was the supervisor, how could what somebody was saying to me, how could it get through one ear? How could it be influential? What might the language need to be? And one of the things, and there are great quotes there, and I know that we have superintendents on this call, so they can share with me whether they think any of this helps. One of the things is that you don't go to a superintendent and go, okay, here's what I think needs to happen. This is what should go down. I would suggest that you offer a perspective and some suggestions. That's the idea, so that there is an autonomy. There's a sense of status. There's a sense of autonomy for that individual, but you're offering ideas. You're offering ideas. And based on Kendall Zoller, we'll go back, visuals. I'm going to actually show you a visual. Offering ideas, palms up. Having a hard conversation, not kidding, palms down. Okay. When I think of hard conversations, having hard conversations with my palms up looks wimpy. You don't go, so I just really think this has to happen. Okay. This looks weird. Okay. You don't do that with classroom management. You're in classroom management. Your hands are down. Everybody have a seat. So have a seat, personal invitation to you over here. Let's do that. Flight attendants, same thing. They don't go, is your tray table up? They go, excuse me, that tray table needs to be up. That needs to be underneath. Their palms are down. Okay. Hard conversations, palms down, not out, down. Offering ideas, palms up. It has a different approachable stance. And when you're talking to a supervisor, you're offering ideas. It's a superior. But I want you to think like a junior partner. That I thought was one of the best things in here. You're both on the same side. Everybody wants the goal. You are a part of this group. Here are some suggestions. Pull them up, right? So I offer all of that to you as some ideas, you know, that might help. All right. Let's take literally 2 minutes and I'm going to look at the chat. What kinds of questions or, I don't know, comments or whatever, do you think are coming up for you at this time? Because then I'm going to share with you where we're going, because it's the last session is next week. Okay. So let's take, I'm going to put 2 minutes on here and then there's going to be a final takeaway. So these are questions. These are questions. And I'm looking in and I love that people are acknowledged. So sweet. Yeah. Thank you. So Justin's talking about fourth point. It's here. They're in the room, but I'm going to fake it. You know, everybody's thinking that, but you're going to talk about it like this. Okay. SEL, forgetting to take things off plate. I know. Yeah. Perfect. So any more thoughts on how to have a hard conversation with peers for us non-admin leaders? Clarity. First off, everybody has to have agreed that this is how we're going to roll. And then you can actually say, you know, hey, we decided. And there's maybe a pause. It depends on what you're having a hard conversation about. But you have to decide if you're the maybe grade level lead or you're the head of department, you might say, I need to put my hat on, not as your colleague, but as the HOD. You might want to own a title, even though you're a non-admin. You could put the hat on. You could say, you know, I need to talk to you as your team partner and not just as your buddy. And say, in this group, we need this. But I love that. Sean is mentioning it's very important to set the expectation. Yeah. We got to set expectation. And I'll tell you this. I know that I get hypoglycemic, cranky, and whiny at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I am not my best self. So I need things to remind me how to be my best self. Norms, values, collaboration norms, whatever it is, that idea of kind of putting those out there and saying, hey guys, and you might want to say, hey, Justin, we agreed that we're going to do this. You can have seize the moment, like that's not okay. Those are very quick things. Or your peer said something snarky about some type of kid, you could go, ouch. They could be really, really, you know, short things, but I think that's fair. How do you reset expectations when you have started the collaboration, not establishing them? That's it. We're doing a reset. You might say, you know, we're going to start the new year off. You could do it at the beginning of the new year. You could say, I try to do it every quarter. I call it being 2 feet in the present, because people forget. You have your ideas, you're really off and running, best of intentions, and then you're going to go to the gym every week and then every day, and then you don't, right? People fall. That's the deal. So we have to say, I call it 2 feet in the present conversations. I say, we're going to start back. Or you might say, okay, we're getting into this crazy time when people are going to get super busy and we're going to have to get efficient. We're wanting to be productive and we want to be professional. So let's just all remember, because it's all getting a little busy, that we're going to work on these things and hold each other accountable to them. So that's another way. Okay. How to train ourselves and everyone else to have 2 or more explanations of the issues. I'm trying to remember Greg, can you come off mute and tell me what you mean by that?
On page 49, we have, sir, we are heading towards an iceberg, sir.
Yes.
And it's, and I know that's a one-way conversation of a subordinate to a superior, right. but I was thinking about that. It's also, you have to have those reiteration of what is that you were looking for in your expectations more than one time. So while they're warning you about this and you're saying this, that's a multiple conversation over time.
I see. So you're talking about two or more reminders, you know, sir, we're headed toward an iceberg, sir. Now we're headed, hello again, we're headed toward an iceberg.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So yeah. I think how to train ourselves and everyone else to have two or more explanations. Golly, because you've now got to pump yourself up to have that hard conversation a second time or a reiteration a second time. Think about what we do with kids. Ask three before me, right? I think it's that kind of thing of maybe we rephrase that and we've got to have, did you say it three times before you, you know, three, show you care. Twice, show you care before you, I don't know, I'm making up some slogan, but I think there absolutely has to be that. And it is true that sir, you're headed toward an iceberg, sir, did happen. That is a gentleman, he recently passed away, who told me that story. It, you know, and it's sort of like you're going to get court-martialed if you don't, you know, because you didn't try to step up and say something twice. It's a little crazy. We're going to finish up next week. I can't believe it. Boom, it's done. It was a nice moment. With chapters 5, 6, and 7, right? And that's going to include everything that I'm guessing you probably came for, which was the script, right? But there's so much more than the script. The script is after all of this work, because you're trying to be humane and growth producing, which means you had a clarifying conversation, you did a map, now we're going to have the hard conversation. We'll review some stuff around David Rock's scarf model that's briefly in here, and we can extend if you'd like to do that on your own to do some more work with that. We're going to look at a scripting protocol that aligns with David Rock. And then in this book, as opposed to the first book, I went into what if they yell at you, right? That because there's always this worry of, well, then they're going to say, well, you're not treating me like a professional. You didn't give me enough time, or you did it. So there is an entire chapter with possible responses. And then because you're getting all this resistance, how do you manage it? So this is a little bit more on you as well and supporting you. So that's next week. Justin is going to remind us that there's also a place that if we want to put stuff into a chat or a discussion, he's going to tell us that. But I definitely would like to know your takeaway from today and place it in the chat on your way out. Thank you, Justin.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, if you haven't joined the forum yet, that is powered by Mighty Networks. I put the link in the chat. That is where we'll post the recording and where you can post any further thoughts or questions that you didn't get to share today. I will get the recording posted sometime tonight. It takes a little bit of time to convert it and upload it and make that available, but do keep an eye out if you are not able to attend the entire session today. We will post the recording there minus the breakout discussions. And I think that's about all I have for today. Perfect. We will see you next time. Same link, same Zoom room. And great job, everybody.
Love it. Much appreciated, everybody. Have a great rest of the day.
All right. We'll leave things open for just a moment for people to finish sharing things in chat. And we will.
Yeah, the outcome met process. Good. Takeaway clear as kind, taking away the filters, anticipating resistance. Is this a clarifying conversation? Palms up, palms down. We know that. Yeah, it's so good. So good. Perfect. I love it. Bravo. Thank you. What fun. Justin, always a pleasure. Likewise. I can have you be my, you can be, you, yeah, you're like not, you're not a background guy at all, but I so appreciate that you do that for this. So thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for being here. And Jennifer, really great stuff. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time.
Ciao. Be well. Bye.
Bye, everybody.